So today's talk is going to be about dynamics and analysis of treatment. And I promise you I'm not going to spend a lot of time on analysis. So Ernest Holmes, the book is oriented around his Ernest Holmes Tuesday night gatherings. And people would get together, they'd eat dinner. I can imagine they were probably all brought some kind of food, like a potluck. And then they'd watch some of Dr. Holmes' favorite TV shows like Bonanza or Maverick.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yes.
Remember, this is the late 50s. And televisions were a fairly new invention. So after they got done with their TV shows, then they'd talk about the people, you know, and the work that they were doing as practitioners doing treatment. And I can just imagine how this all goes. They're probably all sitting eating pieces of cake and drinking coffee and, and they're all listening intently. And George Bendel, who assembled this volume, said that he learned more in those evenings when they were relaxed and talking than he would have in any class. And what seemed to come out of these discussions was that students felt that they didn't trust their own authority to do treatment. So there was some doubt when they did treatment. Now, this particular talk was given in March of 1959, which is nearly, 60 years ago. Mm-hmm. And this was 4 weeks after the Whittier Cosmic Consciousness Experience, which is famous when I know there are recordings that are available when Holmes was giving a talk, and all of a sudden he just bloomed.
Saw the light.
He saw the light in the middle of a talk. This is very close to the very end of his life, and so it's a huge, momentous experience in the development of religious science itself, and so that's why when I say the Whittier Cosmic Consciousness Experience, that's what it's referring to. So the guy's already super enlightened at this point. And he talks in this particular chapter about the personalization of the divine within us. So in other words, it isn't like there's this God who's out there and then there's us. And instead, it's all one. So I love it. He mentions this movie called Green Pastures, which was made in 1936. And I thought, Green Acres? With Ava Gabor? But no, it was Green Pastures. And in this film, Old Testament stories are told from the point of view of a black Sunday school teacher. And the biblical prose is translated into words and concepts that the congregation could readily understand, and so he talks about the characters, though they are members of the town, and the field, heaven was like their local farmland. So he talks about, starts with the creation of the world by God, known as Delaud, and he talks about how God went on to create heaven, and then man and earth, and women and their fall, and then the coming of Jesus Christ. And that all sounds really great. And by the way, we kind of, this movie is not really in favor because it's kind of racist. Holmes apparently got a lot out of watching it, and he said that at the very end, there was some suffering that the people went through. And he said that a lot of us grow up with the idea that suffering is based on some kind of God out there doing it to us. So, but the truth of the matter is, and in psychiatry they talk about this, Freud said that a neurotic thought pattern repeats itself with monotonous regularity throughout our lives. So it's like we get this idea and it just keeps going and going. The dictionary defines neurosis as an emotional illness in which a person experiences strong feelings of fear or worry. And most of us have these feelings from time to time. But as religious scientists, we know that we have the ability to change our thoughts and therefore change our lives. So these thoughts of worry or fear do not have to stay with us. But we need to make the effort to eliminate them. So to give an example, if I was raised by my parents to think that I was a good for nothing, and I'm sure they thought that from time to time, it might have had two results. I might have been so driven to prove them wrong, or I might have turned into a bum. And history will someday tell us which one really happened. And then there's these, you know, these old stereotypes that we get sometimes from our spiritual teachings. And there was an old hymn that said, "I'm not worthy of the least of his favor." Really? Really? And then Psalm 22, verse 6 says, "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people." So the first thing we need to do is separate those neurotic thoughts from the belief of the believer. You know, so it's, you know, the suffering that ended Green Pastures is something that is a man-made process. And it's true, we will continue to suffer if we have the same thoughts. And of course, that will naturally reinforce the idea of dualism, that we are separate from God, which is just not true. So Holmes says that the person, that we are surrounded by divine presence, which responds to us as a person, and we are surrounded by a universal principle, which responds to us as law. And to this concept of law, we must add the concept of creative intelligence. So I can use my creative intelligence to tell myself that I will never amount to anything. And I can do that, and I can create. I'm a powerful creator. However, that's not what I'm choosing to create. So this is the power and the presence and the law, which we can use for specific purposes. And I'm getting back to where Holmes was dealing with people that were having problems with or issues with getting results from doing their treatments with their clients. And some of this is because they've got all that stuff spinning around in their head. So something you probably, we call this a demonstration when we actually get results from our treatments. And Jesus used that same authority when he spoke his word and miracles occurred. So, you know, again, the key word is authority. We can speak with authority saying, "She is a good for nothing." Or we can speak with authority and say, "We are healed. We are whole. We are complete." So we need to use that same authority. We weren't brought here to suffer. We are taught in this movement that the authority won't work unless we recognize it and embody it and feel our own power and our own connection to feel that presence of the divine within our lives. So if we only understand this at the intellectual level, we won't fill our prayers in life. It's kind of like words without the feeling behind them. And it's so important to have some kind of feeling behind your treatments or your prayers. So in praying, we are creating a mold, you know, kind of, the mold might be something like perfect health. And with a feeling injected in the prayer, we inject it with life. So we need to see ourselves as having the ability to create with our words and thoughts far beyond our intellectual understanding. So the spirituality that says we got to be intellectual and all of that is kind of baloney. And we need to understand that we have a lot of power, that we our feelings are part of that power. And we need to understand and train ourselves to use that adequately. And I can honestly say that sometimes I can get pretty irritable and annoyed with people. I know that probably never... It never happens to any of you. But let me tell you, what I create from that place is not necessarily what I would, if I was really thinking about it, I'd really want to go there. So what I do is I have a vision board that we created first thing in this year, and I've got some phrases on here that I got to juice myself up when I'm feeling like I pretty pissed. So the first is boldly going, and the other is live big. That came from Oprah, of course. And so when I see those words, I remember I am powerful, mm-hmm. and that there is nothing beyond my grasp. And at other times when I'm feeling tired or beaten down, I feel inert, like I'm not going anyplace. And but I have learned in my training that I need to meditate, I need to take good care of myself, get enough rest, and I need to love myself before I can help others and before I can do a treatment for somebody and be, you know, speak with authority. So we need to be careful about the thoughts that are neuroses that occupy our head. And I gave Connie a CD a while ago, and there's this song by Robbie Williams that says, I love my life. I love my life. I am powerful. I am beautiful. I am free. I love my life. I am wonderful. I am magical. I am me. I love my life. So a couple more things, and then we'll take our break. So here's some help I thought might be fun for all of us. Tim Ferriss sent out a prayer based on the words of Thomas Troward. So I'm gonna repeat a line, and then I want you to repeat it yourself, and I want you to repeat it with some feeling, okay?
Out loud.
Out loud. Right. So those of you who are listening on the internet, I want you to do that the same. I want you to repeat after me. I am life, and as life, I do flow. I am life, and as life, I do flow. I am joy above and below. I am joy above and below. I am power, so I can let go.
I am power, so I can let go.
I am love. I reap what I sow.
I am love. I reap what I sow.
I am beauty. I watch myself grow.
I am beauty. I watch myself grow.
I am peace. I know that I know. I am peace. I know that I know. I am light. I eternally glow.
I am light. I eternally glow.
So how do you feel after saying those words?
Energized, yes.
Yeah. Mm. So I'm going to close by reading something from the chapter, the very end of the chapter. These are Holmes's words. Now we are right here at this threshold where we're going to leave behind everything that says we can't step over. We are not going to take any of the darkness in with us. We are not going to take any troubles here because there are no troubles this side of the gate. We are not going to take any impoverishment, fear, misunderstanding, or hurt. No patterns of antiquity that are repeating themselves over and over again just to show that they have that much life. All this is behind us. This is what Jesus meant when he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And we know that where we are now, all joy exists and all perfection is forever. This is light, love, laughter, and a song. It is peace. It is still. But here the most terrific action takes place that we have ever imagined. Everything is alive. Everything is awake, aware, whole, and everything is joy. Do we then drink from the well of salvation, the well which no man dug, and eat of the bread which no man made, and drink the wine which was not distilled? And so it is.
So it is.